This is KNKX News. As the coronavirus pandemic claims victims, their family members have to say their final goodbyes from afar. It's just too risky to get close. Michelle Bennett lived through that experience when her mother, Carol Ann Gann, died last Thursday. Less than 2 weeks earlier, Carol Ann tested positive for COVID-19 while she was living at Issaquah Nursing and Rehabilitation Center. Michelle talked with KNKX's Kari Ploeg about her mother's final days.
I was talking to my mom one day. She said, yeah, somebody here was diagnosed with COVID. I said, well, stay in your room. I was shocked when she called me and said that they were testing her. And now it makes sense that there was probably a healthcare worker, at least in the news report I read, that was showing symptoms for a couple of days and was still working with those symptoms. So that makes me not happy and a little bit, well, obviously upset. I mean, I'm sure they're going to do an investigation of all of these things, but that's the only way I can figure she would become infected.
Were you hearing more information from your mom than you were from the nursing home itself?
It was pretty much three calls. Otherwise, it was my mom texting me saying, I'm getting tested. And then 2 days before she went in the hospital, she called and said, I tested positive, and I just lost it.
2 days after she tested positive, you had had a phone call with an ER doctor in the middle of the night. What did that doctor say to you?
She was so kind. You know, she said, listen, you know, your mom's oxygen levels are really low and we need to decide whether to intubate her. But if we intubate her, she will probably never, ever come off ventilation. And if we don't, she probably won't make it. And she goes, you know, if it was my mother, I wouldn't have her suffer longer by being on a ventilator. I would, you know, just do comfort care. And it was, you know, that phrase, you know, if it was my mom, like the compassion of internally knowing that pain and empathizing, you know, just the empathy from the ER doctor was amazing. And so that was a really difficult conversation. We were able to get all of my siblings on speakerphone. We were all able to say goodbye and, you know, we're crying. And my mom said, well, I guess I did something right. You're all on the phone and look at all of you. And so, you know, she hung up and, you know, I was just up most of the night waiting for that phone call. And I'm sure it's the hospital. I'm like, okay, here's the call. It's coming. And it's my mom. She's like, well, so I spent the night here. And then, you know, this is what I'm eating for breakfast. And, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you have 9 lives. This is unbelievable. I cannot believe we're just having this conversation. It was such an amazing relief and unbeknownst to me, short-lived, right? This is apparently, from what's been explained, 2 phases of the disease, you know, so we had kind of gotten through the first and then the respiratory issues hit, which I didn't understand. So I was able to talk to her a couple times through the day. And then the next day I talked to her again and I could tell her CO2 levels and her oxygen were off because she was kind of mumbling and trailing off. And I don't want any of this. I don't want that. And, you know, over the next 5 days, she just deteriorated and was agitated and, you know, kind of fighting, I think, in her own way for her life by pulling out her IVs and tired of being poked and prodded. And the nurse, we had called to talk to her because like the phone in her room would just ring and ring. So the nurse said, listen, I will take my phone in there and I'll FaceTime her. I'll get suited up and you guys can see her. And I was telling her, I love her and, you know, I miss her. And I could see my mom like kind of just moving her lips. Like I think she really heard me. She just couldn't respond. And that meant so much to me. Like, that's the memory I get to carry, that I did see her. Whether she knew I was physically present or not, she heard my voice. I saw her face. And for that nurse, I am forever grateful that she allowed me that opportunity. These folks, these nurses, this healthcare staff, they have to endure this pain as well. Like, they're the last conduit of life. And she said, your mom will not be alone. I said, you promise you'll stay in there? She said, yes, we will be here with her. So she held her hand and she was able to rub her head and things that I wanted to do so badly and my siblings did too, and we couldn't. She stayed with her till the end.
Do you know if and when you'll ever get to meet these nurses and say thank you in person?
We've been putting together a care package for the nurses. I don't know whether or not we're going to be able to get it to them or when, but I want to see them so badly and just hug them and just give them the world if I could, honestly. Like, those are the heroes, really. You know, those are the heroes of this tragedy. Thank you. Thank you for being there with my mom. Thank you for not letting her die alone. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for being who you are and for taking a personal investment in someone you didn't have to, and for giving her family closure. That means more than we can possibly express.
So everything that's happened over these past few weeks has happened, it seems, really fast. During that time, you've been very open about the experience, posting updates on social media. Why did you think it was important to share what you were going through with the people around you?
One of the initial reasons of posting was I wanted prayer for her. I wanted her to make it through this. We all did, my whole family. And the day I was able to talk to her, the day after the emergency room, when she seemed totally with it and awake and okay, she's like, I could feel all of the prayers. I could feel all of them. And I thought, if somebody else is going through this, let them see what the process is, to give them some comfort if it's happening to them. Or maybe somebody was just diagnosed and they want to know what's happening next. And then the human piece of what it is, you know, reading this headline of, you know, 108 COVID deaths now in King County, each one of those numbers is a person. It's a human being. My brother told me that my mom was number 95. So let's not just let 95 in King County be a number. People need to know this is a person. This is my mom. This is our mom. This is a mother with, you know, 24 grandchildren. This is a mother that had an amazing, you know, family. This is a mother that worked for 38 years in the healthcare service industry as an RN. This is a person. And I wanted people to honor who she is as a person. And then I want other people to know if they're in this situation. I hate to think of anybody else having to FaceTime their goodbyes, but that's a real thing that may happen. That's a reality for these families. So to be able to share this and the experience that we've had, if that can take some pain and agony or anxiety off of other families, this is worth it. You know, there's nothing to hide here. This is not anything shameful in the human experience. We need to share that and be part of that community.
Michelle Bennett speaking there with KNKX's Kari Ploeg about her mother, Carol Ann Gann, who died of COVID-19.